started last week. Let's continue in the book of Acts. It's the book of the history of the church, the book of Acts, you know, and really a continuation from the book of Luke. So come with me here, okay? And there'll be with the younger ones. I'm going to be asking some questions later on, okay? So you know, have a think and listen as hard as you can, because I'm going to be asking some questions afterwards. So everyone, let's read from verse 4 of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says this, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And this next bit is written in red, is what Jesus said. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So you see, what happens is this: religious people get focused into a geographical realm. They said to him, let's read it again, verse 5, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" The religious mindset has it limited to a geographical area. Restore the kingdom to Israel, because that's all they knew. Because in the Old Testament, that's Old Testament thinking right there. In the Old Testament, it was a geographical realm. The people of God were Israel. That is the people of God. But what does Jesus say? "You're thinking too small," he says. "Oh, we're gonna absolutely have it in Israel, yes, but we're not limited to that geographical realm anymore. In the new covenant, that kingdom has spread throughout the whole earth. All over the earth now that kingdom applies." And this is what he's teaching here. But this is what he says. He says this, look, "You will be witnesses to me." You'll be witnesses to me. This is what Jesus is saying. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, you'll know it, and then you'll be witnesses to me. Because it says this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Power. And that word, you know, in the Greek, we know it so well, don't we? Dunamis. It's the explosive power of God. It's not a small, limited, shrinking type of power. It's that power that's all-encompassing. It's that power that puts fire in your belly. It's, if you don't have fire in your belly for this gospel, I'm telling you this, you're not in the battle. You're asleep. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ in the New Testament sense and be just a passive, nice little, nice, you know, "Oh yes, well, we believe that." You've got to have fire in your belly when the Holy Spirit is involved in you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He puts fire in us. The power is described as this type of explosive power. It's the explosive power of God that he puts in us. And why does he do it? So that we will be witnesses. So that we won't be shrinking. So that we won't be limited. We won't be a people without confidence. We'll be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He's called us to this. Now, let me tell you this, okay? Yesterday, we heard something interesting, you know. We heard in the men's talk about, is interesting. We heard about snapping into the fight. Are you committed? Are you really committed? You know, how strong is your commitment? I want to ask it like this. Are you fully in? Are you fully in? Or are you just tipping, touring around the edges, you know? You're going to be fully in. I don't play cards, poker. But apparently, with that game, you have to be fully in. If you're committed, you'll be fully in. I mean, even the mafia. You know, if you're in the mafia boss would say to the person when they become a made person, you know, we've known some people involved in that organization, and they say, if your mother is on her deathbed, and you're with her on your deathbed, if you get a call from me, you come and you do what I'm telling you to do. You're now in. That's what it is to be in. You're fully committed in. Well, if that's what it's like for that group, how much more should it be for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who says, listen, this commitment that I've called you to be fully in, fully involved, fully in. Let me put it in straightforward, clear way. He said, listen, if you want to gain your life, lose it. Lose your life for my sake and the gospel. Then you gain it. You've got to be fully in. Got to be fully in, everyone. No half-hearted measure. No sort of, oh, well, I'm sort of tipping around the edge. And, you know, I'm busy. You know, I'm a busy person. I've got, listen. Fully committed, fully in. That's what he's called us for. And yesterday, you know, it was interesting, the story that we heard about that Methodist minister who said for 23 years he's been preaching the wrong thing. They got it wrong. I heard a similar story yesterday from one of the ticking ministers who I ordained, John Gorn, from the pop group Herman's Hermits. He was with them and other groups. And he said that when he had been an alcoholic, he went to this church one night. It was a very nice church, and the lights were on, and it looked nice, and he went in. And he was an alcoholic, and he was trying to break free. And he went to this church, and he walked inside. He was hoping that they'd tell him the way to get free. How to break free from this. But no one told him anything. No one told him how to break free. No one said anything to him. In fact, the sense he had is he couldn't wait for them to leave. Couldn't wait for him to leave, to get out. And just get out so we can close the doors and get on with our lives. See, they weren't fully in. And what he did was, finally, he went home. He bought 2 bottles of whiskey on the way home. He gets home to his flat. He opens up the flat, goes in with 2 bottles of whiskey, and there's a knock on the door about half an hour later. God had spoken to someone to say, knock on that door and tell that man the gospel. So God worked in a supernatural way to communicate the gospel to him, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and things changed. But up to that point, the people in the church weren't doing it. And with Pastor Mick, yesterday we heard his testimony, similar. He went into a church and they were nice to him. They were nice and polite. They had a little bit of money for him, they were nice and polite. But he could tell, they couldn't wait for him to leave. They wanted to close the door and, you know, please, we got stuff to do, you know. Come on, this is good, Pastor, but, you know, come on, please, hurry up, come on. We're busy. And so what he did was he left the church, And he was walking up and down the street. He was in a t-shirt. It was freezing cold. He was shivering. He's an alcoholic at that time. This was his life. The one, you know, I'm talking now about the one that His Royal Highness has written the foreword to the book. His Royal Highness Prince William wrote the foreword to his book. That's the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about when he was in a t-shirt, walking up and down the street, shivering, homeless. And there was a bloke in a doorway, homeless man in a doorway with a duvet. And he says, "You cold?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Come here." And he put a woolly hat on his head. And he could tell he was having withdrawal symptoms from his alcohol, you see. So what this man did was, now religious people won't like this, okay? So if you know, you may not like this, okay? But listen anyway. He got the alcohol out and he poured some alcohol in him. Because when people are having withdrawal symptoms, he's had it up in his office. If they have withdrawal symptoms, you know, they can just die. If they don't get the alcohol in, they just die. And that often happens. But if they have a bit of alcohol in, it just calms things down, you know. Now, God doesn't need to use alcohol always. God doesn't use alcohol all the time. But listen, there may be occasions when, I don't have a problem if God was to do that, poured a bit of alcohol down his throat. He was telling his testimony yesterday. It's not my testimony, this. It's his testimony, okay, everyone? So I'm quoting his testimony. So this man poured some alcohol down his throat. He stopped shaking. Then he got his duvet, put his duvet over him. So now he's got a woolly hat. He's got a duvet over him. And he's had a bit of alcohol. And then what he did was he rolled up a cigarette for him and he gave him a cigarette. Listen, if you're not intelligent, if you've got a religious mindset and you say, "Oh, God wouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. You should..." Just listen to his testimony, okay? Please. Please. This is his testimony. I'm not advocating any of those things. I'm just saying his testimony. And what he did was, he said that when that happened, he stayed alive that night. He made it through to the next day. And somehow, in that those things that happened, he experienced a little bit of kindness. And what he said yesterday was he experienced Jesus with the man in the doorway. And the man in the doorway was able to at least give him something that no one in the church would give him. No one in the church is going to do that. No one in the church is going to do that. Why? Because they're not interested in those things. And they don't reach that far. The church often doesn't reach that far. The church just reaches this far. But if you're over there, forget about it. If you're coming, you come to us on our terms, please. We're the ones who are right. You're all wrong. And the church doesn't reach that far. But, you know, it's what God's calling us to do is to reach people. And to reach people and to be open and say, "Well, how do I do it?" Well, for me, I speak to an imam on Friday afternoon. And when I'm speaking to the imam on Friday afternoon from the government in Algeria, I'm negotiating with the imam about, on behalf of the churches. Sometimes when God calls you to reach out, it doesn't make sense in the natural. It makes no sense in the natural. But God has called us to be a peculiar people who do peculiar things to reach for the kingdom's sake. You see? It's different. And so I'm asking people, please, please, listen. If God calls you, okay, let me explain it like this. When God calls you to do something, very often it will look different than what you thought it would look like. In business, it would look very different to what you thought it would look like, perhaps. But it'll be tremendous. It could be a tremendous thing. But it'll look different, perhaps. If you can understand the way it should look, if you've got it all in your nice little tick boxes, oh, this is how it'll be, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. Guess what? That's not how it happens. No. God is full of surprises. Always full of surprises. But this is how it works. To be really fully in, fully committed, you've got to snap into action. And that snapping into action is saying, I'm living this Bible way. And then that yieldedness causes the Holy Spirit to speak to you. How many people have heard the Holy Spirit speaking to them this week about things? Amen? Good, good. And then when you do those things, isn't it wonderful? Sometimes surprising. How many people this week have been surprised about what the Holy Spirit has directed them to do? Okay, interesting. What did he say? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. So it's like this. The best illustration I have is when I was a young boy. In what I'm trying to convey here. So I was a young boy, moved to a new house, and we went to the park one day. My brother, my friend, and me. And, you know, at about 14 years old, however old I was, I forget. But it was about 14 or something. I was a nice boy. You know, I was one of the good boys. I wasn't a naughty boy, a good boy. Played chess, played golf. You know, I was a good boy. Well, I was prone to a few things. But you know, in general terms, my nickname was Smiley. I had a nice nickname. Smiley was my nickname. So we went to the park. But there were some rough boys in the park. And when the rough boys, when we were on the swings, they're just swinging on the park, just chatting away. My younger brother and my friend and me. And the rough boys came over and the rough boys said, hey, this is our park. You can't swing on the swings here. And, you know, I don't really like that type of talk, really. So I just said, well, I'll just stay in on the swings. I like it on the swing anyway. But my brother and my friend, they walked back to the house, which was several hundred yards away. So they said, oh, we wanted to go anyway. So they just walked back to the house. I stayed on my own on the swing. Because now that they've told me I can't, that's when I'm definitely going to stay and do it. So I've stayed on the swing. So what happened was they grabbed me and then they started to hit me and punch me. And then they had me on the floor. And then they were punching me on the floor and then kicking me on the floor. There was three of them. And I thought, it's okay. I didn't mind so much, you know, because I thought it'd be over quickly. And I wasn't bothered about a few little knocks. And I was sort of fairly used to do a bit of, yeah, I wasn't bothered by that sort of, you know, it's nothing. I thought it'd be over soon. But what happened was, when I was on the floor, one of them grabbed me, and he was going to try and think, but he grabbed my button on my shirt, and that was the button that my mum had sewn on the shirt the night before. My mum sewed the button on. So I didn't mind that he was kicking and punching me. I didn't like that he now broke the button that my mum had sewn on my shirt. Now that had made me mad, because now he's done something against my mum. And that's when I kicked into the fight. I said, oh, you want to fight? Okay, now we're going to have a fight. And I just sort of had energy. And I rose to my feet. And I punched one and I punched another. And I basically said, come on, you want to fight? We're going to have a fight. And I was chasing them off. And they were running away. These were the rough boys. These were the boys in school. You know, they had motorbikes. They had the motorbikes in school. The girls would hang out with them. and they'd be there with the smoking and the rough boys, you know, the naughty boys they were, you know. These were the rough ones. And the three of them, I chased them away, gave them a good licking. And why? Because they upset my mum's button. Yeah. But what had happened was, you see, I snapped into the fight. Yeah. I wasn't in the fight before. I was just like passive and just... But I had to snap into the fight. Now, let me tell you this. When sickness comes upon you, it's like that bully. It's like that bully, and it's trying to grab. When poverty tries to get you, scarceness and lack try to get you, it's like a bully trying to get you, okay? When fear comes upon you, when fear tries to come on you, it's like those three bullies, and they're saying, you're going to be, we're going to intimidate you. We're going to bully you. Oh, you're a Christian, are you? You're a Christian. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've dealt with Christians before. Well, let me just give you another bang and another bang, and I'll give you a kick, and I'll have you on the floor, and I'll have you beaten, and I'll have you scared, and I'll have you running until you snap into the fight. And he's called us to snap into the fight. What do you fight for? You fight for the truth of this gospel. Fight for the truth of the gospel. How do you do it? When you're in work and someone says something against it, well, they better not do it when you're around. How do you do it? I'll tell you one practical way. They said to Samuel, he started having golf lessons off a PGA professional, okay? Listen, the enemy doesn't come, okay, with two horns and a pitchfork saying, follow me. This way. No. He comes with something nice. He comes with something very nice and attractive. Something that seems plausible. Something that you could justify. I was justifying the beating I was having. I said, it'll be over soon anyway. It's okay. It's no big deal. I've had this before. It's no big deal. I can take that. It's no bother. Justifying. Okay? But God doesn't want us to justify it. God wants us to snap into the fight and say, no, I will be who God's called me to be. I'm not going to be robbed. And this is what happens. So he's called us to snap into the fight. The fight is anything that's trying to take from you what's rightfully yours through this gospel. The enemy will make it look plausible. The PGA golf professional says to us, oh, we want to put him in the elite class. Elite. Because he is gifted. He's very gifted. Natural golfer. Runs in the genes. Want to put him in the elite class. It's on Sunday mornings. The elite class for the PGA. I said, well, he won't be coming. I said, but I think you can change the time to suit us. Because you see, we're committed Christians. You see, so we've got to worship God every Sunday. And the PGA professional says, yeah, I'm sure we can work something out. See, that's me making a stand. You see, that's a practical thing. You see, that's how this thing works out. The enemy doesn't come and say, stop going to church and follow me and my banner. Or don't read your Bible, go and do something else instead. The Bible, it doesn't do that.
It was the same with us. Football, they had games on Sundays, and because we wouldn't come, they changed it to Saturdays.
They changed the games from Sundays to Saturdays. They changed the league. That's what we're called for. That's what we're called for. We're not called to be the. Oh, we'll fit in. Oh, we're pleased. We're called to rule and reign. Come with me, please. Let's go once again to Romans 5. I want us to read it out. Verse 17. We read it out last week, but it seems to be coming up again. This is the life that he's called us to. Romans 5, 17, okay? Listen to this. It says it so clearly. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned. Now that's the life of Adam, where death reigns. There's two choices, friends. Life and death, okay? Just like there's two sexes, male and female. There's two choices here, life and death. Watch this now, watch. It says this, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, if you received an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, if you've received an abundance of grace and if you received the gift of his righteousness, you will, the Bible promises, reign in life. Hallelujah. Reigning in life means that actually we take a rule and an authority. We're not passive. We're not passive people going along with the flow. No. We disrupt the flow. We disrupt the flow. You think that God living in you, Jesus Christ, the one who rose again, is going to make your life ordinary? It's not an ordinary life. We disrupt the flow. We disrupt the flow for him and his gospel. And things change with us. We can do all things through Christ. We're strengthening us. That anointing that's in us. The anointing causes that to happen. It causes us to fight. It causes us to be the agents of change. Agents of change. Hey, guess what? We'll change Algeria. Change it. We'll change it. I told Sam, I said, you like the football thing. You enjoy the football. Maybe we buy a football team. Yeah. So, you think I'm joking. What you don't realize is what you have no idea. Where I am with this. Honestly, please, everyone, listen, God is a big God. And I'm telling you, right? I'm telling you the truth, okay? You watch what God does. And you can be an observer and a passenger, or you can be on board for the journey. Listen, this gospel, okay, can be likened to a trawler ship. God has called us for this message. He says this, look. He says in Acts, we're right in Acts now, it says this, but you, verse 8, he says, as I come to the end here, I'm just coming to the end, but it says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's all over now. It's not geographic anymore. Nonsense. Anyone who thinks that, you know, we're limited to a geography or anything, nonsense. It's all over the earth. Okay, those are the words of Jesus. They're in red in my Bible. Here's the thing, okay? There's a purpose for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it's to be witnesses. Well, if you have a ship, okay, that's catching fish, a ship that's meant to catch fish, they call it a trawler vessel. Okay, and it's a working ship, and the Church of Jesus Christ is meant to be like a working ship, and the work that we're called to is what? It's to catch fish, be fishers of men. That's the work that he's called us to. That's why the filling of the Holy Spirit is ultimately, that's the purpose, to be a witness, to be a testimony to someone else so that they'll come. I mean, we had a meeting yesterday, okay? Well, listen, we had a meeting yesterday with the most famous minister in Britain at the moment, who's on all the daily television programs and all the things. I gave 15 personal invites to people to come. Guess how many of the 15 came? One. Now, that's okay. That's okay. People had other things on. They were booked in other things. No condemnation for anyone here, okay? But I'm not saying this for that. What I'm highlighting is this. There's a passivity. There's a passivity in the church. And it's not like a trawler vessel. There's no urgency for the gospel, it seems, at times. People are just, oh, relax, take it easy, just relax. No, I can't be relaxed. He's given me a commission. I have to go and I have to tell people. I have to be busy about those things. That's why we had the meeting. That's why Liz designed the leaflet invite midweek. That's why we posted it on Facebook. Why didn't you see it? If you saw it on Facebook, you should have forwarded it on. Let me say, look, or you can be passive. It's okay, relax, be passive and anything. I'm talking now about the gospel of Jesus. It's not called us to be passive. It's not called us. Listen, we're not meant to be like the QE2 or one of those cruising vessels, okay? Where you go on the deck and you've got nice buffets and you go and have, and we're going on one later on this year for a week. I'm looking forward to it. But in terms of this analogy, okay, I tell you what, when I'm aboard ship, I'll be evangelizing. I'll have tracts with me. Oh, I'll have tracts with me. And I'll be witnessing for Jesus. And I'm telling you this, okay? He's called us to be a trawler vessel, a fishing ship, a ship that catches people. That's what he's called us to. So why don't we do that? Why don't we make that a clear aim to snap into action? Not to be on the floor in defeat, but to spring up with life and say, this is what I'm living for. Yes. Are you with me, everyone? Yes. He loves us so much, doesn't he? Yes. He's so wonderful and he loves us. He's given us this great opportunity. And so let's take it with both hands. And if you're being beaten up in an area, okay, if you can relate to being beaten and kicked and bullied, snap out and say, no, in Jesus' name, I resist that. I resist that. I jump in Jesus and call on God and say, God, your scripture says all things are possible. It says that I can speak to a mountain. I now employ my voice. And I speak to that mountain in Jesus' name. And I believe, as the Bible teaches, I'll move that thing. Jesus said you can move the mountain if you speak to it. So let's speak to that mountain. Okay? So we have mountains or battles going on at the moment in our lives. Now is the time to speak to it. This morning. Don't be passive. Don't allow him to kick you, to punch you, and to beat you up in life. Say no, no longer. I rise up this morning in the name of Jesus, and I fight back with the power of God in my arm. The Bible says this, the weapons that we have are sometimes okay, and they're quite good if the wind is with us. The weapons that we have are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of our wonderful God and our Savior. And so this morning, we're talking about being witnesses. and that explosive power of God in our lives. So let's all stand now, please. And let's take the explosive power of God for our lives and say, I will not be a victim in my life. I will take the explosive power of God. Hey, if people meet you, you're the mouth of God to them when you're yielded to this word. You're the hands of God to them when you're yielded to this word. And they'll see that you carry authority of God when you're yielded to this word. And they'll change to accommodate you. I promise they will change to accommodate you. They'll change the rules to accommodate you. But you've got to stand up. You must make that demand on yourself. It won't happen as long as you go along with their way. You have to stand and say, no, I'm not going their way. I'm going his way. I make a stand. Watch what happens. They'll accommodate you because he's for you. Amen. God is for you, my precious brother and sister. Listen, I don't want you feeling anything negative, okay? If I say anything and you feel a little bit of a correction, it's okay. Take it on the chin. We all have to, okay? The Bible says that God corrects those sons who he loves, okay? So if you're feeling that, it's just a proof he loves you so much. I feel it often. Believe me, I got used to it. I really do. And it's okay. But I want you to have a real joyful thankfulness this morning as we're closing here. Because I want you to know that you are to the ends of the earth. You're one of them. You and me are part of the Israel of God. We're the believers of God, Jesus Christ, okay? You and me are part of this great thing that the New Testament has spoken of. That's us, okay? We're one body. We're in this together, okay? And God's using us. And he has been using you. And he's going to use you more. And he's going to do great things to us. I'm honestly believing for great things in people. Listen, let me tell you something, okay? Have we stopped the video? Let's stop the video. I just say this.